Hey guys, and we're back for another episode of the Woman on a Mission podcast. This is season 5, episode 4, and today we're going to be discussing spiritual covering, a very heated topic in the body of Christ right now. And I just want to be obedient and share what God would have laid on my heart pertaining to this situation. So before we get into it, we're just going to pray and then we're going to jump right into it. Dear Heavenly Father, as we approach your throne of grace this morning, oh God, we want to give you thanks for being the all-knowing, all-powerful, almighty God. There is nothing that happens on this planet that catches you by surprise, oh God. You have it all figured out. You hold it all together. Father, I thank you this morning for being the God of revelation. For we understand that you revealed to redeem, O God. I pray, dear Jesus, that those of us who need to repent will do so swiftly in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And I pray that your judgment will come upon those who have been stifling, manipulating, and abusing the people in your church in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And I pray they too will come to repentance in the name of Jesus Christ. So Father, I pray, I decree so that you may increase. Say through me what you need your people to hear most. And more importantly, I pray that you will take all the honor and the glory for this recording. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. So guys, I think it was 2 years ago now. We're in 2024. Yeah, probably. Yeah, because it wasn't last year. So in 2022, God would have asked me to create a YouTube channel. Well, not asked, told. And one of the topics that he led me to cover, and it was so interesting how this word came to me. I was at the bus stop, literally waiting for the bus to come home, and I had a really hectic shift. And I was just so tired, you know, and I just wanted to get home. And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, the spirit of manipulation and control. And I'm like, huh? So I'm at the bus stop, confused, because nothing was happening, you know. I'm like, yo, I really don't feel like talking right now, Lord. That's exactly how I wanted to respond. But he said, Shannon, I want you to tell my people that this is not my spirit. And it is being manifested in 3 ways. Through church attendance, tithing, and spiritual covering. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. So when I got the word, like I said, spiritual covering had been a very heated topic in the body of Christ. And a lot was going on in my world. So for God to give me a message like this, I knew that it had to be of great importance and significance to him. And I continue to say, I tell everybody, whenever God gives you a word, it is for you first. That word has to try you and test you and prune you first. The word is for you first. Don't start looking outside at other people. Start looking at you. Okay. So, like I said, a lot was going on in my world and God started to connect the dots for me. And at that time, I had very little knowledge about spiritual covering, but I had very solid experiences. Yeah, I knew that the whole spiritual covering, when it is used through manipulation, I never felt right about it. So my spirit was not settled, and my thought process was, if this spiritual covering, and I quote, was so important, I should have been born with it. If it was that important, God would have made sure that I was born with it, yeah? So I was like, because like I said before, and I'll say again, sometimes people come into Christianity and forget to use their brains. They forget common sense, you know. And trust me, when you are broken, and this is the reason why I found myself in so many of these situations too, when you are broken and you don't know who you are, you tend to go into spaces where you are readily accepted and appreciated, or whatever the people try to make you believe that they are doing at the time. But one of the things that my experiences would have taught me is that the price of disobedience is very high. When I tell you high, I mean high. So there's one scripture that I found interesting, and it's found in Romans 14:12, and I'll read that for you guys quickly. Let me pull it up here. Right. So it reads, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, and every tongue..." Oh shoot, that's 11, my bad. Well, we could just go into 12. "And every tongue will acknowledge God. So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God." Not to your pastor, not to your prophet, not to your bishop, not to your whoever. "Give an account of ourselves to God." I think a lot of times how this manipulation can start is when we overstep certain boundaries and we want to be friendly with the ones that God called, or supposedly called, to lead us. I honestly feel like I have a story for everything, yeah? Welcome to Drama Central. But on a serious note though, my first experience with this, because I had quite a few experiences where so-called pastors tried to manipulate me to stay in a church where I knew God was leading me away from. And one of the things that I would have been told is that, "Oh, you need covering. You need covering. You can't be out in the you can't be basically exposed to the elements. You need somebody to cover you," and stuff like that. And I'm like, huh. And at that time, I was still a babe in Christ. And I am not saying that we can't be accountable to other people and whatever, but this is why it's so important to have a relationship with God, because I knew that God was calling me away. But here he was saying that I need to have covering, and I need to become a member of the church, and I just can't continue to visit, and all these different things. And I was like, mm-mm. Mm-mm. So that was one experience. The second and most detrimental experience that I've had was where I visited this church and, you know, I knew that God was speaking to me, and he said to me, "Shannon, before the service is over, you're going to have that mic in your hands." So I'm like, how am I not come to the people church and I gonna have a mic? Anyhow, as sure as God said it, the mic was in my hand before the service was over. And I think I was worshiping or praying or something like that. Anyways, we have to be careful when we're going into certain environments, and remember that even though that people claim to be of God, most often than not, people see our stars. Yeah, basically our destinies. They see the greatness over our lives, and we can't see it. That's why you will hear people telling you certain things like, "Oh, you're gonna become great, and you can do this, and you can do that," and little old you cannot receive that word for the life of you, because your life ain't making no sense right now. Because I don't understand how something great could come from all this garbage. Yeah, but every single one of us is born with a star. And sorcerers and astrologers and witch doctors and warlocks and these people, because they are so versed in the things of the spirit, they are able to discern and see certain things about you, even though that the their information about you is not coming from the true source, which is God. The spiritual realm is still accessed by the enemy as well. And there's something called familiar spirits. And thank you, Holy Spirit. The story that is coming to mind is the girl who was possessed with the spirit of divination when she was following around Paul. And she kept saying, you know, these men are the sons of the Most High God. These are disciples of God. Yes, that's what she said. Something to that effect. Please don't quote me on that. Go and read the story. Anyhow, she kept saying it over and over, day after day after day. And apparently the men in that town used to make a lot of money off of her because of her divinations. Yeah. And Paul got so frustrated. Mind you, this was going on for days. And this is why discernment is so important. Because Paul called that spirit by name. He said, "You spirit of divination." That's what he said. "Come out of her." And there's a very thin line between the spirit of divination and the spirit of prophecy. Yeah? And that difference is the source. It wasn't that this young lady was giving wrong information. She was absolutely correct. But her source was not God. And especially in these end times, you have to be so connected with God. You have to pray for discernment. Because the Bible says, if it were possible, the very elect will be deceived. These people are going to be coming with so much power. They're going to be doing miracles, signs, and wonders. But from which source? By their fruit, you shall know them. Now, before I knew all of this, you know, I was just so gullible and naive, but I cannot sit here and tell you guys that I was not warned. I was warned, and I didn't take heed to that warning. So I got involved in the quote unquote church, and a lot of trash happened. But one of the things that stood out to me, you know, apart from everything that was happening and stuff like that, there was a lot of craziness happening. But when God told me to leave, and I told the leader of this place, excuse me, that God had told me to leave, the way that he responded indicated to me clearly that we didn't have the same God. Because if God is saying something to me, then if we are serving the same God, then you should hear something, if not something similar, you should hear something. But the fact that you were totally against what I was telling you was concerning to me. So then he went on to say, like I said, we clearly couldn't have been serving the same God, because he said to me, you know, this is not the God I serve. This is not how he does up. This is not how he operates. And I'm like, clearly we don't have the same God. So it was a very distressing time, very confusing, you know, and one of the worst experiences that I've had to date, because I really thought that those people cared about me. It turns out it was all just a facade and a lie, and they wanted money. Yeah. So as I was leaving, I remembered, and this is what happens when you start to put people in God's place, because I didn't even realize that I started to idolize this man. And God hates idolatry. Yeah. So when he was dethroned, in my life, basically, then God was able to minister and to speak. But what happened before God made his grand appearance was that I recognized at night these wails would come out on my skin, these like hives, and that never happened before. And it was like, it was so crazy. It was so crazy. These things would only come out at night, and it was very distressing. You know, I was anxious all the time. I did not want night to come. It was just a lot, man. And what God had revealed to me was that this person was working witchcraft on me. And of course, that broke my heart, because like, how can you be professing that you are a man of God and this is what you're going to do to someone else? So it was a lot, honestly, and that went on for a good couple of weeks. Of course, I had to go through a series of deliverance. What they did as well was like speak curses over my life, over my books, and stuff like that. All of that had to be broken off of me, and it was a lot. It was a lot. And one of the things I remember him saying, because you know when you're in something, you don't necessarily pay attention to the red flags, because a lot of red flags was there. I'm telling you, in hindsight, a lot of red flags were there. But one of the things that he said to me that I never forgot, when I initially met him, he said, he was telling me how he had this dream about me and yada yada yada. And he said, his last words were, "Stick with me and you will become great." Who's you? He didn't even say stick with God, you know. And like I said, in hindsight, that should have been one of my many cues to leave. But I did not. So all of this was happening. Like I said, it was a boatload of madness. Anyways, coming out of that situation, it felt like I was stripped of everything that I thought that I knew. Like, when I tell you, the deliverance from that witchcraft was tedious. It took a lot of energy from me. I lost a lot of weight. I looked starved, malnourished. Yeah, I looked bad. And it was just a lot, guys. And this is why I'm so passionate about obedience and teaching others how to be obedient to God, because disobedience costs. It has a very high price. And I am so grateful that God is so faithful that even though I didn't listen to him, he was still so ready to receive and to walk me through the same deliverance, and you know, to let me know that he's here and he's not going anywhere and stuff like that. So that was basically my experience. I honestly came back into Christianity very naive, because I did not think that people in in church, and I quote, would do this to other people. But I was in for a very rude awakening, and I know many people have experiences like mine and worse from what I've heard, because they come and they share with me. And I want you to know that that is not okay. Abuse, manipulation, control, none of it is okay, and it's not of God, because God himself doesn't even try to control us. Imagine that. He created us with free will so that we could choose whether or not we want to serve him, and then we're gonna have people in pulpits coming and trying to control us. The devil is a liar. Cut it out. If you are in an environment, especially a church setting, where you believe that you are being manipulated and abused and controlled and all of these things, you need to leave. because that is not the Spirit of God. That is not how the Spirit of God operates. You need to leave. You need to leave. This is not okay. You know how the spirit of abuse thrives? In silence, when you don't say anything, because that's how the enemy keeps us bound, in our silence. If you don't say anything, oh, if you talk about this, nobody ain't gonna believe you. You know, he's so well respected and he's this and he's that. I do not care. I don't care. He's not my God. I don't care. And I pray that a spirit of boldness will come upon God's church, where they will be able to speak up and speak out about the injustices that they would have seen and experienced, because this has been going on for far too long. And like I said, I know that my experience isn't the only one, and I know that it is not the worst case either. But that experience really opened my eyes to the evil that is running rampant, especially in these last days. What I can say is, God has healed my heart, so that's why he waited until now to lay on my heart to share it, because if I wasn't healed, guarantee y'all would hear a lot of trash on this podcast too. But God has a way of doing things, and God brought me to a place of forgiveness. Yeah, so I have forgiven my offenders. And yeah, yeah, and I know, and I'm not here to tell you that it was easy. It was not easy at all. But how I know that I have forgiven a person, because as an intercessor, if I have not forgiven you, I can't pray for you. I can't. And one day God said to me, I want you to pray for him. And the fact that I could pray, the fact that I could pray, I knew that God had healed my heart, and that I would have released the offenses. Because, thank you, Holy Spirit. What I would have recognized about forgiveness, and I want somebody to write this down and make a note of it. Forgiveness is about the person, but releasing is for the offense. I'm going to say that again. Forgiveness is in regards to the person, but releasing relates to the offense. So you could forgive somebody, but not release. Not release what they did to you. And there's a huge difference. Is the event that gives us anxiety and you know, makes us angry and bitter, is you need to release that. You need to release that offense. You need to release it. It is going to kill you if you don't. You have to release it. I know it was painful. I know they were not right. Trust me, I get it. It happened to me too. But what I will tell you is that you didn't deserve that happening to you, but you deserve to be at peace. That's what you deserve. I'm not discrediting what they did. I am not. But you deserve to be at peace. You've been tormented too long by that offense, whatever they did to you. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but you know who you are. You have been tormented by that experience for far too long. And God is saying it is time to release it. Release it. So it no longer has that hold and that grip over you. That person has gone on living their lives, and you're still here in torment. You have to release it. You have to release it. I pray that God gives you the strength to release it. In Jesus' name. So guys, please be watchful and mindful in these streets. The streets are getting hot. Hotter than we would like. But we know that the end is near. Nearer than we expect. And we have to keep our robes clean. And we have to keep our lamps trimmed. You know. because the bridegroom is returning for his bride. He is. There is no questions about it. And if you're listening to this and you don't believe that, well, this may not be the podcast for you. So, that's it from me, y'all. I have one recommendation. I learned a lot through this pastor's teaching. His name is Pastor Kevin Ewing. I would like you guys to watch his teaching on false covering. Very insightful, very thorough. He teaches only the word of God, you know, not his opinions or anything like that. Strictly Bible, strictly truth. And that's what we need. That's what we need. We need to hear what God is saying in this hour and in this season. So, I pray that you guys would have received from the Holy Spirit, and I can't wait to kick it with you in the next episode. So, you know, as we go, we repeat our little motto: I am a woman or a man on a mission to spread love, hope, and joy, changing the world one woman or man at a time. Guys, I love you. God bless you. Mwah. See you soon. Bye.